Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are brought to you by best water filter in the world. That's the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. And listen, hey, with all the grid down stuff that's going on, and with all the threats with the grid that are going on, you need water filtration because you'll have to scavenge. And so this is the best. They have a special. They haven't raised prices. Go to waterwithdave.com. And if you have water, well, you also need food, because the government will use it against you to control you if you don't have your own food. And I agree with Dane Wigington, pretty soon the only food you're going to have access to is what's already in your home. This is why we really tell people you need storable food. My Patriot Supply is the best out there. It's the largest company. I think it's the most dependable company, and I think it has the best product. And I am a customer as well. So go to preparewithdave.com. And by the way, they have a $250 special. $250 special, you heard me right, on the three-month supply. So you're going to want to grab that and make that part of what you do. And then one final thing. If we're going to suffer, and oh, are we suffering with all the election theft, if we're going to suffer, let's suffer in comfort, right? How about those Giza sheets from MyPillow.com? They're $28. They were $90. They're two-for-one specials on just about everything, or half off. You need to check it out. Go to MyPillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges, and you'll get all these great discounts. You'll see the products pop up. So those are our sponsors for this show. Now, we have a really special guest. We had him on about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Had a real good response. And I'm talking about Doug Hagman of the Hagman Report. And he is going to enlighten us about the election fraud in Pennsylvania. And then we'll get into some other topics as well. And I may have to compare notes with him on the Maricopa County election fraud. Doug, so good to have you on the show, my friend. Welcome.
Dave, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. A lot to say about Pennsylvania election fraud. When in anyone's memory could we possibly elect a guy like Fetterman? I don't even know what to say. He was the former mayor of Braddock for $150 a month. He lived off his parents until he was 50, essentially. He became deputy governor and then, of course, candidate for Senate, had a stroke. Look, I'm not making fun of his cognitive abilities because of his stroke, but the fact of the matter is, just like Biden, okay, he is a tool of the party of Davos, the left, and we've seen this. Now, one thing I did this at my older age here, I've never done this before. I decided to get involved in my election. I became a poll watcher and a poll challenger, and I worked on election day pretty much, as long as I could. And I walked into the election room deciding that either I was going to do my job the way it was intended or I'd wind up in jail. In fact, I was so convinced of some issues, I had my wife, I put aside money in case I was arrested for doing my job as a poll watcher, because I've heard about that happening. I've seen that happen in other states and other venues, other parts of this state, and because no one was going to be putting pizza boxes on any windows. No one was going to be covering, telling me where to stand or where to sit. As a matter of fact, when I went in when I went in as a poll watcher after the initial part was over, I was told to sit 6 feet away from this table where people were registering. And one of the issues was I had to hear the person who was voting state their name clearly. And I said, I'm not sitting there. And they said, no, you have to sit there. I said, no. I'm not sitting there because I can't hear. I would not be able to hear. So I moved the chair over, and the precinct captain looked at me and said, "You can't do that." I said, "I just did. What are you going to do about it? Because I'm not moving." And she backed down. And I said that not to make myself sound like a hard ass or just a plain ass. But I said that because we as conservatives, I think, have lacked the fortitude to challenge authority. And that's why we lost Pennsylvania, because not enough people said, no, this is not how it's going to work. And I did go through prior to that. I went through and I said, look, I asked what kind of machines they had. And of course, they were the same kind of machines as the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh boy, you know, big change there. The tabulators, I should say. And I went by, and by the way, I went and checked the paper ballots. I made sure that there was no Sharpie pens around. And I had them run through the tabulator with me. And the captain said, "You're the first person that I ever had to do this for." And I'm thinking, that's not right. It's not right. Again, it's not. This is not about me. You know, yay's me. But if we do things proactively, I think, if we would have done things proactively, we could have perhaps changed the outcome. And the precinct I was in was a very small precinct. As a matter of fact, maybe this was some sort of a sign, but there were 666 registered voters in this.
Geez.
And I thought, wow, was I put in the right spot? So at any rate, what I saw, now I didn't see anything. I did not witness any kind of irregularities at that level, at that, as a poll watcher. But what happened was, once, and these are the rules that you've got to follow, that I did not know were in fact rules by the Commonwealth. You are not allowed, for example, into the room at the end of the day when all the votes are collected. There's no way of telling if there were any votes added or subtracted when it was taken to the courthouse for.
Do you mean there was a lack of chain of custody? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. The precinct captain had taken the paper ballots to the along with the reconciliation sheet to the clerk of court, to the I don't want to say clerk of courts, the person in charge of the elections. So there wasn't not an issue with chain of custody, but there was an issue of, well, how can I be sure, or anyone be sure, that those were the same papers that originated from the voting precinct? So, I mean, I've got some questions, and certainly we need to change some things, how things are done, because if we keep doing what we're doing, and also the mail-in ballots, I mean, the issue, by the way, with the social networking and people on the news saying, well, there's been no proof of any stolen election. Well, that's because there was no evidence presented, and there is evidence of rigged elections, which is much different than stolen elections. So what happened?
Let me get to that point.
Go ahead.
What's some of the evidence for a rigged election?
Well, rigged election is, I'll give you one example. witnesses, for example, and I'll use Arizona as this example, because Kerry Lake filed a complaint recently, and witnesses inside Maricopa County found mismatched signatures, tens of thousands. The sheer scope, the systemic problem, in addition to the mismatched signatures, was the aforementioned chain of custody that you mentioned. In fact, some 300,000 ballots, there was no evidence of any chain of custody. So anything could have happened to those ballots. So the entire system is corrupt, right to the core.
Did you have any machine failures or tabulator failures in your county?
Not in my county, but in other counties. And interestingly enough, places like Philadelphia. Now, not enough to make nothing like Arizona. Okay, I have to say that. But there were some issues with machines, with the tabulators, with the rejection of the alleged rejection of votes, or what were they counting them 4 or 5 times? So, you know, the bottom line is this: it's what we need to get back to, and I think everyone has to get together and demand this, is one day, one vote, use paper, no machines, get the machines the hell out of this country, because we've seen what the machines have done. The very same thing that happened in the U.S. happened in Brazil with that communist in Brazil. Now, the military might be entering into that.
Oh, yeah, but that's moving towards civil war.
Right. So, and I would say this, based on, in part, if you look at things like The Fourth Turning, that specific book by, oh, my goodness, William Strauss and Neil Howe, you know, we're ripe for that civil war or revolution, more accurately, I think. And it's because in part of the elections. And, you know, we've got to get back, in my view, Dave, to people don't know about or haven't heard about or have forgotten the Battle of Athens of 1946. I'm a big believer in, look, if you see something that's a problem, you take action right away. And we are not doing that. What happened with the Battle of Athens very briefly in 46 was you had vets coming home to Athens, or McMinn County, Tennessee, Athens, Tennessee, and finding that their votes were being hidden from, or there was a lot of hanky-panky with voting. The bottom line is they went to the armory, got guns, went back to the courthouse, and took care of business. It lasted a day and a half, 2 days, I think, at most. There were some casualties, but I'll tell you what, they fixed the problem. They were not going to take
today. Merrick Garland and his merry band of thugs would show up, and I don't know that that would work today. But I hear what you're saying. We do need to take action. This is something I've come across, and I'm going to make a prediction on this. I predict Fetterman's wife, who's an illegal alien, and her family has communist connections into Brazil and connected to the Lulu. Convicted, served prison term president of Brazil who stole that election with Chinese and Dominion Company help. I've heard this now. In fact, let me give you one basis of proof. Biden turns to Mrs. Fetterman, and Biden and Obama are campaigning. But that must have been a hell of a conversation between Biden and Fetterman. Can you imagine? But anyway, Biden turns to Mrs. Fetterman and says, you'll make a great senator. And that was overheard by a lot of people. And I heard it was also caught on some open mic, although I have not seen that part of it. But I will tell you this. I predict that Fetterman, because of extreme handicap, is not going to last 6 months. And his wife will be the senator. And she is a direct agent of the Communist Party of Brazil.
And you know, that should not even be allowed. Gisele Barreto Fetterman is his wife. Okay. And you're correct in terms of her status. How is this even possible today? That we as a people allow this to happen. We shouldn't. And that's my biggest thing right now. Okay. I'm getting old and the fact, and I've said this before, I'm getting old and life in prison is, has much less meaning as one ages. Okay. So we need to really, I was being kind of cute with that statement for the FBI and DHS and CISA and all that listening. But my problem is we are all talk. We're all memes. We're playing by their rules. And we're playing in their sandbox. And we have to stop doing that. We have to say, look, the rules are spelled out in the Constitution. Anything beyond that, no, we're not going to do this. And we have to put up or shut up.
There is no constitution for these people, though, Doug. The constitution is just an obstacle. In fact, George Bush said it best. He said, the illegal we do pretty easily. The unconstitutional takes a little longer. And he was paraphrasing what Henry Kissinger had said a generation before.
Right.
And these people, this is how they view the legal mechanism. They're obstacles to their total control. And my position is this: we will never have another fair election. I've got a former, shall I say, government official source. I got to be careful because he's a marked man if this comes out.
Sure.
He's got the formulas for the machines. And in many of the hotly contested races, he shows how you can flip by 15%. And how they cap the vote. For example, in Arizona, you'll find this interesting. The Secretary of Treasury office and the state mining inspector, that election between in those two offices got 100,000 more votes than the governor's race. That doesn't even make sense. That defies description.
How is that even possible?
It's not possible. And I had relatives and neighbors who were affected by what happened on Election Day with the machines that went down. Here's the thing. They certify the machines at 5 p.m. the day before the election. The 11 hours later, or 13 hours later, I should say, the centers open up, and 50% of the centers, most in heavy Republican areas and also carried almost 70% a day of voting in Maricopa County. So they open. And they say, oh, drop your vote here in box 3, unsecured box, totally open, and no chain of custody. Okay, that's one thing. And then they commingled box 3s in various centers with already tabulated votes, so they couldn't count them at all.
Right.
I mean, there was clear disenfranchisement there. And then many people said, no, I'm not doing box 3. Are you kidding? I've been around the block. I know what happens here. Well, you'll have to go to another center then. So they go to another center, and they say, well, you're already registered at such and such a center. You've already voted. Get out of here. This is how they disenfranchise.
Right.
You know, we estimate now they disenfranchised about 290,000 people across the state.
Now, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, where the poll workers were not trained in when they went to vote in one precinct or one area, they were not released from that precinct when they attempted to vote at the other one. So, in other words, they were rejected and as such disenfranchised. Is that the way?
That's pretty much what happened. But also, okay, too, they would go to another center, and even if they hadn't formally registered at the first center, they would go to another center, and the lines sometimes were like 3 hours long, and people have to pick up their kids, they have to go to work,
right?
And there's, you know, life goes on, so people just gave up. And what's interesting is when the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors had a public meeting on this, and they gave everyone 2 minutes, they had many of the poll watchers come forward.
Oh yeah,
and say people were disenfranchised. I witnessed it, and I work for you, and I'm telling you, your election's full of blank. And they didn't care. They listened to people, And then they just said, we certify. And then the Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, who just happened to be the gubernatorial candidate, she supervised her own election. And when various county commissioners across the state of Arizona says, we're not going to certify this election, it's a fraud, she threatened them with a felony and an arrest in an election she's part of. Yet no conflict of interest, of course.
You know, I was going to call you. How is it possible? I'm a little bit cloudy with the details. A supervisor from one of the counties voted to certify the election under duress.
Yeah, you're talking about Ron Gould. He's a former state senator and state rep. He used to have a radio show in Lake Havasu, and I was a guest on his show a number of times. He's a good man. He's one of the good ones in politics. And he didn't want to go to jail, and it's that simple. I mean, I talked to people who've talked to Ron. I can't get a hold of him right now, but I was told it's just as he said it was. He didn't want to do the fight. They'll bankrupt you in court, even though they know you're not guilty and you'll probably win. They'll still bankrupt you. And Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State, tells him you will certify or you're going to jail.
So in addition to everything else, you've got a conflict of interest. You've got
with
Katie Hobbs. Okay, and I'm just trying to imagine myself in that position. There would be no way I would certify that election, even under the threat of a felony charge, because it's just not right. So, but. Okay.
Cochise County capitulated too. This is what Cochise County wanted to do. After the machine vote was done, they said, we're going to verify the count by a hand count. And Katie Hobbs, again, in conflict of interest, said, if you do, I'll come after you. So they didn't even allow a hand count to verify the machine count.
So, Dave, if I can kind of turn this around just a little bit, because I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you don't mind.
No.
Okay.
But we're comparing Pennsylvania and Arizona, two swing states, and they're both corrupt.
Oh, I mean, you got that right. And you know, it's the heavily densely populated population centers, at least here, like Allegheny County, Pittsburgh area, Philadelphia, Montgomery County, and a few other, maybe one or two other densely populated areas that are the problems. But with Arizona, you've got such a clear, to me, such a clear case of fraud. And Carrie Lake, thankfully, filed suit. When was it? Was it last week sometime?
Yeah.
And I was reading the suit, the legal papers. And I think it's pretty compelling, with the information brought forward there.
Well, it's completely compelling because she's got workers at these sites that back up what she's saying. The problem is we have a very corrupt judiciary in Arizona. In fact, I don't mean to interrupt your train of thought, but I think this is important to interject right here, Doug.
You're actually answering my question I was going to ask. Go ahead.
Chairman Bill Gates, who, by the way, I used to know very well. He used to be my student. We had some social contact after that. You know, he was the most brilliant, ethical person I ever met in his younger years, law school years, post-law school years, but he's now joined the dark side. And it's really a shame. It's very sad for me on a personal level. But Bill Gates' wife is a Democratic judge, and she was involved in a conflict of interest ruling in 2020 election. And fortunately, she got discovered for who and what she was related to, and they removed her. But what I'm saying is these kinds of conflicts of interest occur all the time in Arizona. Our judiciary is bought and paid for. A lot of it's George Soros related. And people don't realize this. Our outgoing governor, Doug Ducey, owned by China. In fact, he even bragged at the National Governors Association. He said, oh, we love doing business with China. They need rare earth minerals for their military. We're so happy to sell it to them. I mean, the guy's a traitor. And the Chinese saved his ice cream business's butt by propping them up and making them profitable, and then subsequently they own him. And George Soros donated $2 million to Katie Hobbs when she ran for Secretary of State. The same with Paul Penzone, who unseated Joe Arpaio. He got $2 million from George Soros. I could go down the line. Jack Sellers in the 2020 election was the chairman of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, and he's the who's who of China's best friend in the Phoenix area. He has put into agreements, his organization's put into agreements, all the state universities are aligned with China. Their sister city programs with the suburbs and the city of Phoenix. And then, of course, there's Kate Gallegos, who's the mayor of Phoenix, trained by Klaus Schwab in the Young Global Leaders Program. And, Doug, I could talk for the rest of this interview, and I don't want to. I've just touched the surface of how much corruption there is.
Well, you know, the Soros corruption of the judiciary, we know that was going to have massive implications. You've got prosecutors who are letting out child offenders or child diddlers. It's just absolutely crazy. Now, in Pennsylvania, we do have, my mind went, it just went blank. There are measures being taken to remove some of these prosecutors by impeachment, and I believe that to be necessary. But what I find interesting, too, is this convergence of events. You mentioned George Soros. We also have Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy behind FTX.
Oh, yes, Val. And he's involved in the Arizona election, and he owns, and he helped control the Republican Party leadership. Yeah, you hit a point. I want to see if you have this in Pennsylvania. Bill Gates, the chairman of Maricopa County right. Board of Supervisors, and Stephen Reicher, who's the county clerk and recorder, they both contribute heavily to a super PAC that is designed. Now, they're both claim they're Republicans, but they're not. They're owned Republicans by the establishment. They contribute to this super PAC that's designed to defeat America First candidates, of which Carrie Lake and the other state offices that were run for. Arizona is totally Democrat now, except for the state treasury. And the state's probably 75% conservative, and that's how corrupt the election is. But these people contribute to a super PAC to block people like Carrie Lake from getting elected, and they call themselves Republicans. And when you go to the national level, Mitch McConnell is one of these people. He belongs to the same super PAC. He reached an agreement with Chuck Schumer to get MAGA Republicans out of the Senate. That was public. And he received $2.5 million from FTX. Kevin McCarthy took money from FTX, as did Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC. In other words, Doug, I've quit the Republican Party. The Republican Party is owned by the establishment, both the local and the national level.
100%. I totally agree with you on that. And, yeah, you've got Sam Bankman-Fried. Second only to George Soros, contributing to the left, causes of the left, and the rhinos on the right, certain PACs and such on the right, with really fraudulently obtained or fraudulently used money. Pensioners' money. It is so absolutely mind-blowing as to what is going on right now. But you hit on a good point there. In Maricopa County, I look at the Board of Supervisors, Bill Gates, Clint Hickman, Sellers, and
Galindo is the number two mafia guy. After everyone testified, including their own workers, he made a monologue, a rebuttal to everybody. How dare you say this is the most fair and free election ever? Wait a minute, 50% of your centers went down in Maricopa County on opening time. Fair and free and efficient. Even if there was no corruption, Doug, even if there was zero corruption, the incompetence is immeasurable.
Exactly. You know, the evidence that Carrier Lake has compiled in the lawsuit, there's a significant focus. Will be the signature verification problems, which show well over 100,000 signatures with problems. Okay, now you mentioned a couple hundred thousand in addition to the chain of custody, but there was testimony by three witnesses who offered their testimony and who were especially able to document the deep flaws in that election process. And I found this to be fascinating in the paperwork. You had one person alone reviewing some 42,500 ballots, rejecting about 15,000 of them. So somewhere in the 25% to 40% range, and other workers claiming similar numbers. So you've got all of this. The number of disenfranchised voters is just absolutely stunning when we see this, like you stated. So, but we saw this back in 2020 and nothing happened. And you know, everyone was hoping for something different in 2022 without making any changes. How'd that go for everyone?
Well, they didn't make any changes. The head of the Arizona audit, which I called the fraudit, was State Senator Karen Fann, who was president of the Senate. And yes, she doesn't own it, but her husband owns what they call Fann Construction. And let's put it this way. Everyone I know connected to the audit who's honest, who talked to me, and they were connected to the audit, they said that we didn't look at the critical things, we didn't force the issues. And I'll give you just two examples. To get the election codes, a suit was filed against Maricopa County supervisors to get the election codes. And that would have told where the votes were counted, which I'm convinced it was in China. And they did. The Maricopa County people would not honor these court orders. I mean, they were in contempt of court. And the audit team did not push it. Well, it's interesting because Karen Fann, let's say, has some interesting connections, okay, privately. And I'm not going to get into that here. It's a different topic. But let's put it this way. Her conduct as conducting this audit was reprehensible. She didn't pursue the contempt of court. She didn't go after other evidence. Liz Harris found 96,000 ghost votes in Maricopa County, verified ghost votes. That's way more than enough to turn the election around. She wouldn't even entertain that. And Liz Harris was an advisor to the audit early on. And so here's what's interesting. When she announced she wasn't running, and the day after she announced, Fann Construction got a $360 million construction contract for Arizona highways. Do the math.
And based on what I just heard, I wonder if I could take an insurance policy out on you.
Well, you know what? If I told you everything behind this, I'd have to hire someone to start my car every morning.
I would guess.
I'm not exaggerating, Doug. I'll tell you off the air, but it's stuff that I really can't say. Can I prove it? Yeah, I believe I can prove it. In fact, there's already been an attempted murder in this area involving a private citizen and her boyfriend in Yavapai County.
Okay, and that's what we need to. I believe this to be the case, and on this side of where I'm at, okay, I'm seeing similar things where there is this last thrust to go after people like you and I. You've got the data, you've got the information, you've got the evidence, but there's no place to take the evidence. It would be like me as an investigator by profession having evidence of a homicide or having evidence, well, yeah, or whatever, of a crime, and going to the district attorney and having that DA say, well, you know what, thanks for playing, have a good day, and then not doing anything with that evidence. That's where we're at right now. And I believe that we do have remedial measures that we could take that we could prevent us from going further down into a socialist state. I mean, we can end this judicial tyranny that you speak of. And I think that first and foremost, this judicial tyranny that reigns throughout the country has to come to an end. The Supreme Court justices, they must be subjected to term limits. Sorry, but they must. Congress must attach a rider to every law dealing with this, dealing with a socialist policy that's not subject to judicial review. And by the way, this is something that Lincoln did, and the people, some of the people around that time did. If the Supreme Court continues to act in the in this tyrannical manner, I suppose, their rulings should be ignored. And this is keeping with the American tradition. And you can go back to Lincoln's first inaugural address where he, you know, I can quote very briefly, but he said, if a policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole of the peoples is to be irrevocably fixed by the Supreme Court, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that eminent tribunal. So we need to stop that right now. We need to advance states' rights, and I believe that we need to do other things like cut university funding and shore up the borders, which your state,
going
my goodness, has one heck of a problem.
I'll let you know how it goes.
The numbers that I'm seeing, especially in advance of the expiration of Title 42, are just absolutely stunning. Some 540,000 a month coming across the border.
That's out of Davos. You know, that's a directive from Davos.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you're looking at 18,000 a day. You're looking at, some 240,000 coming through the Darien Gap last year versus 10,000 the previous years. So, you know, we've got to, in my view, if we don't do anything, our country's gone. In fact, one could argue we don't have a country right now. Especially with no borders, what's happening with the monetary supply, the way
we have a decrepit military now, and
yes.
I could go on and on, but Elon Musk actually delivered an address to a private group, and he went through education, military, voter integrity, and he blasted all of it. Now, by the way, I don't trust Elon Musk because he has not identified the Republicans most affected by the censorship. That tells me he's playing the leverage game to get a better seat at the table for the New World Order. For example, when they had a electric car convention called by Davos, Elon Musk was not invited. That's why I think he's doing what he's doing right now.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I don't trust Musk. I don't put my trust in any one man or any man necessarily. I think your observations about his handling of the Twitter files, for example, I think is there's a lot there. Yet there's a lot. There's so much more because one of the questions I had, the first tranche of Twitter files that came out, failed to mention James Baker. There was a passing reference to James Baker.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the second tranche mentioned, of course, the cover up, the various things that Baker did. But what we've got right now is this public private partnership between the social networks, including Twitter, but especially Facebook and other platforms, Alphabet, all of these. And you've got, at least in my view, you've got this, you've got the DHS, you've got the entirety of the intelligence community plus the Five Eyes running.
Well, yeah, they got the DNI, the FBI, DHS involved in weekly meetings with the FBI before the 2020 election.
Exactly. And even through Musk's initial bid to take over Twitter, and once he did take over Twitter, and I was able to talk with someone on Bannon's team. Baker was, no, let me rephrase that. Twitter, for example, they were actively destroying records during the process of the ownership takeover, so ownership change. And one of the people involved in this, or one of the people at the epicenter, was James Baker. And, of course, it's interesting to watch, too, how – and I'm sure you know about Yoel – I'm trying to think of this guy.
Oh, Harari?
No, not Harari. It's another one. At any rate, he was their point man with the FBI and DHS and such at Twitter. And his PhD was actually – he's got a doctorate, and his PhD was his thesis was done on Grindr, okay?
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. But that was a good trade, wasn't it? Professional basketball player for an arms dealer that kills tens of thousands of people.
Well, you know what that was about? And what that is about, in my view anyway, I think that had to take place. Now Donald Trump said absolutely no trade. Now, I got my problems with Trump, okay? I do. But he was the best thing going at the time. However, Victor Bout had to be traded because Russia had their last military parade. They had one tank in their military parade, one functional tank. They are in such need of small arms.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to Iran too. They just cut a deal with SS-20s with Iran.
Yeah. So. Who's the best guy to kind of fix things? And that would be Victor Bout. That's why Paul Whelan is still prisoner there. And we get back this this women's basketball
weirdo.
Yeah. So yeah. Man.
You know, I'll say something about Brittany Griner. I'm glad she's home. Okay, it wasn't worth the cost, but I'm glad she's home. But here's the deal: when the White House press secretary was defending Biden's decision, they first of all lied. NBC came out and reported it was either Whelan or Griner, and they chose Griner. And that was the first thing they said, and now they amended the report and lied about it and says, no, it was Griner or nothing. They lied. The second thing is they defended the option because the White House press secretary said, well, she's a symbol of courage for all women. That's a bunch of BS. She said prior to the previous WNBA season, we shouldn't even play the national anthem. We shouldn't stand for it. She hates America. And then she said, but she's a symbol for the LGBT community. So I guess Paul Whelan, because he's heterosexual, gets left behind in prison. Oh, and she's a black female. White male gets left behind. So we're making decisions based on demographics who gets freed. And see, this promotes the Biden agenda. Anything against white males. He basically spits in the face of the military because that's what Paul Whelan was. I go off on this. I mean, I don't begrudge Brittany Griner for coming home, but she committed a real crime.
No. You know what? I do because anyone who hates, and I believe based on what I've seen, that she hates the United States or everything the U.S. stands for. Okay, so you know what? You stay in your socialist country, and let's bring home the patriot. But you're exactly right about Biden and the reasons for that trade. And there's a demoralization factor, I believe, involved in this as well. This is so in your face. You know, it's beyond anything I've ever seen before. This is, you know, and I lived through the 444 days of Jimmy Carter hostage crisis, you know, as you did. This is rubbing America's face in the dirt of this communist agenda Party of Davos and the satanic agenda behind everything we're seeing.
It's
that's my view.
Well, anything that hurts America, Biden's in favor of. Just like Griner. I mean, she's a disciple of Biden's willful destruction of America. And whether or not he likes doing it, which I think he does, he's being blackmailed by Ukraine and China, as is his son. So you get the Biden crime family that's owned by our enemies. I don't know how much worse it can get.
And you know, this takes me back, not to blow smoke up your skirt, but it takes me back to your investigations early on about the uranium, am I correct in that statement? Uranium.
You're talking about Uranium One.
Uranium One, but the Arizona. What was going on in Arizona? Forgive me for not being more articulate than I am.
Well, that's what I alluded to earlier. The governor. Governor Ducey, in 2017 speech for the National Governors Association, said China needs rare earth minerals and we're just all too happy to provide them for them. And he
right.
had his ice cream business saved. So that's one element of this influence. There's no question about that.
Exactly. And the template is the playbook, the template is the same. And you know, you mentioned Biden, and to me, there is absolutely no way Biden's running a damn thing. Okay.
Well, did you hear what Obama was in Atlanta, and he was campaigning for the Warlock Man? He said, "Well, Uncle Joe, we love him, but you can't give him very difficult things to do."
Right.
Yeah. I mean, could it be any more clear?
No, and so to kind of circle right back to where we started, this is why we've got people like Fetterman that are elevated to positions of power, because there is no power that they hold. They're puppets. They're puppets on a string. And you're right, too, about his wife. But I think what we're seeing here in all everything that we talked about, everything is really, it's a magic show. It's an illusion. Everything that we're seeing, to me, there's nothing real about what we're seeing in terms of like the seat of power of the White House. When's the last time Biden addressed anyone from the Oval Office? When's the last time he was in the Oval Office? And by the way, if I can toss this out there, how many Bidens are there?
That's a good question. I've heard two minimum, but that's a more difficult thing to prove. But I think you're right. Yeah. When you need coherent sentences, they may bring out the imposter.
And you know, even beyond that, I think we have to ask, start having adult conversations with the patriots and saying, okay, what are we going to do about this? Because we can talk and talk and talk, but until we act, until we get out of their sandbox, stop playing by their rules, or turn the tables and do the same thing they're doing, that they're doing to us, then nothing is going to change. And if nothing changes, then I mean, we're headed for some dark times, brother. We are headed for some really dark
times.
First
of all, we're not going to get rescued by Republican leadership because they're bought and paid for.
Correct.
Whether it's Sam Bankman-Fried or you've got communist Chinese. You know, Mitch McConnell, case in point, right? Mitch McConnell, his wife's parents don't own, but they control the six major ports in China. And Mitch McConnell makes about $25 million a year off that deal. And this is why he's soft on issues involving Taiwan or South Korea. I mean, he's bought and paid for, too. And he wants MAGA Republicans gone because they're pro-Taiwan. They're anti-China. Right. He is China's man in the Senate.
You know, Dave, how many people do you think... How many Americans out there walking around? Look, I know people are busy with kids, with their, you know, raising families and working, trying to keep food on the table, trying to keep gas or put gas in their car. It's tough because we've got inflation. Of course, I guess we don't have inflation, that according to the White House. Or the Fed saying inflation is good because that means there's growth. And, you know, everything's
I thought it was only transitory.
Well, that was a few months ago.
Yeah, I'm joking.
You know, so, again, it comes back to, okay, so what are we going to be doing? I mean, what are we going to do about any of this? The men in this country have been, in my view anyway, have been castrated, it seems like. But I wonder if, back to my original question, how many people, again, understanding that they are doing their best to keep things together in their families, at what's the line in the sand?
There isn't any
what's
right
it
now.
Be?
I think America has been conditioned through learned passivity. And, you know, it's kind of like you see the corruption, but nothing can be done. So you're conditioned that nothing can be done. And, you know, I actually read a psychological review of sitcoms in America, and it fits this point. They said it's psychological conditioning that we watch characters on sitcoms. And they meant, I don't watch TV much, so I didn't know any of the shows, but they were talking about this character is almost successful, but they fail. This other character almost is on the edge of success, and they fail. And they said this is mass conditioning for people thinking that they can't get their goals met. And in fact, a guy named Seligman did an experiment in the 60s, and he conditioned dogs to not defend themselves under certain conditions. I won't go through the details. And he called this learned helplessness. And Doug, I see it every day. The corruption is rampant and it's obvious. All one had to do in Maricopa County was to watch the testimony of the people testifying, including the poll workers, to realize that your state was stolen from you, your country is stolen from you, and yet people just, they won't do anything. Because I don't think they believe their actions make a difference.
Man, I'll tell you what, you know, we are living in perilous times, and you're exactly right too with respect to this learned helplessness. I believe that we have been programmed to the point now where the majority of men, I believe, are eunuchs walking around. And
well, there's also physiological proof for what you're saying. The environmental toxins that have been artificially introduced into the environment from mostly corporate sources actually negates male fertility. It limits testosterone by 50%. And PBS did a really good special, but they didn't cover humans. They covered frogs. But they're, you know, a lot of the same structures. And they watched as frogs were analyzed for their exposure to things like PBCs, and they found that their genitalia didn't fully develop. They found that they weren't, even if they did develop, they weren't able to reproduce. And look at fertility rates today. Sperm levels are way low. The birth rate's way low. And I maintain this is intentional. And when you take testosterone away from a male due to environmental causes, you take away natural aggression. And any revolution 100%. Is not going to be led by women. It's going to be led by men. Sorry, girls, but that history doesn't support that. And so if you take away male testosterone, there is no revolution. And the American male has been attacked directly and physiologically in the environment. And PBS, I think the special was called Toxic Water. But it's not just water. There's other things involved too, but people should watch that special because it'll explain a lot of what's happening to males today. So we see these effeminates, males that, you know, are part of the Gen Z. I mean, they're little sissies. So, I mean, seriously, they're all 98-pound weaklings getting sand kicked in their face on the beach.
You know, you're exactly right. I saw this. I think I saw the same special, but I do know that male fertility is down 50% from 1973. Mm-hmm. You've got geoengineering as part of that. You've got the toxins, as you stated. So, yeah, all of this combined is part of an asymmetric, what I believe to be an asymmetrical war by the Party of Davos, by the CCP, which is the structure for the Party of Davos, to take down the West and specifically take down the United States. I believe, too, that the Western Hemisphere, once the invasion is complete. I mean, right now you're watching this tremendous invasion.
Right. Doug, I'm sorry to interrupt this point, but we're almost out of time. We got about 20 seconds. Tell people how to listen to you. The time just got away from us.
Yeah, and no worries at all, brother. HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman. HagmanReport.com, and all my contact information is there. Thank you. I appreciate the time and appreciate
awesome
your program.
Awesome job, Doug. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thank you. Take care. See you later, everybody.
See
you.